Hello everybody, I'm George Mylandwell. Thank you for coming back to my channel. This is about the situation in Cuba. So Cuba, that Caribbean island, was a communist country for a long time, now socialist. There are elements of private ownership. It's not fully capitalist, and has been a foe of the United States since shortly after its 1959 revolution, ruled by the Castro brothers for decades. And indeed, Raul Castro, now retired, they say is really the power behind the throne. But Donald J. Trump, he really tightened the screws on Cuba a few months ago, saying there'll be sanctions on anyone who provides oil to Cuba. And obviously, Cuba produces very little oil. And how are they going to survive? Now, tourism was their main foreign exchange earner. And the situation looked grim. There wasn't enough aviation fuel. Most flights there in and out were canceled. Therefore, people weren't booking holidays there. They were ruined. Those who could leave the country were going to get out. So the ablest, the most educated young people were going to go and seek better opportunities abroad. Now Trump, he was buoyed up by his bloodless victory in Venezuela, as he sees it. It was bloodless on the American side. Was it 24 Cuban bodyguards of President Nicolas Maduro were killed when President and Mrs. Maduro were kidnapped? But it didn't actually change the regime. Trump kind of thinks it has some moderation of policies. And he thought he could achieve something similar in Cuba. No troops going in to kidnap the president so far, but that might change. And unlike Iran, Cuba had nothing to threaten the United States with. It's a country of 10 million people. Its military is like no match for the United States. Even if the US were going to launch a ground invasion, okay, there might be hundreds of American troops killed, but nobody doubt the Americans would prevail. It's not huge. And because they don't have any land borders, they couldn't be nipping over the border to another country, easily getting supplies from elsewhere. So the US could achieve that. But remember, the end of the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, the United States publicly vowed they would never invade Cuba. Now, the United States, you know, Trump doesn't keep his own promises, reneges on them all the time. He's certainly not going to honor a John F. Kennedy promise from 1962. So the situation looked grim for the regime. They were going to have to give in. It was going to have to be all carrot for them and no stick. There was no way they could pressurize the United States. It wasn't like, you know, the Iran, that they could threaten an international choke point for trade. And nobody was riding to the rescue. There was no cavalry coming over the hill. And even countries which they had a historically cordial relationship, like the United, like Russia, was not offering to do anything. But then an oil tanker from Russia arrived, giving some much needed oil, a lifeline. Now, that's not going to change the dynamic. In the end, Cuba will run out without a lot of resupply. And Trump didn't object. Was the US Navy going to try and stop it? Would they have any legal grounds for stopping it? Because they're sailing in international waters, they're in Cuban territorial waters. You know, even the 1962 blockade, or sorry, quarantine, that was legally dubious. They're not at war against Cuba, they're not at war against Russia. We know that Trump, he craves admiration and acceptance from Putin, whom he idolizes. Is a sort of unrequited love for Putin. Putin is what he'd like to be. Someone who starts wars all the time, who has the adulation of his people, whom he terrorizes, has total control of the media, has abrogated the constitution. And he's the sort of tyrant that Trump aspires to be. Okay, so, all right. So Trump didn't even try and prevent that. So Russia is given the minimum amount. It's not very much considering how much they produce, but they don't want to lose a foothold in Latin America. They've already maybe lost Venezuela, as they see it, as Nicaragua, which is a smaller, even poorer country. But they don't want to be seen to be such a fair weather friend. And as for Iran, in this war, Russia's given them the minimum amount, maybe some intelligence sharing. They don't have very much to spare in terms of weaponry or anything like that. But then there was the announcement that all these prisons have been released, 2,100 of them, and they say it's from humanitarian reasons. But really, they're let out of La Lima prison, for example, partly to assuage U.S. wrath. Some of them are foreigners, some of the people who are just over 18, many of them are women, some of them are elderly prisoners and so on. So they can say this on humanitarian grounds. So that's why they've been rolling blackouts in the country. The economy can't really function. So that Russian oil tanker brought 730,000 barrels of crude. Now that would keep them going for maybe even a fortnight, but they're going to be a lot more of these. And maybe Russia will send more of them. And will Trump just get bored, just distracted about Iran or something like that, and give up? You know how he pivots from one position to the diametrically opposite one that easily. that the, you know, his war in Iran was about regime change, and then it wasn't, and then it was, and then it had already been achieved, and things like that. Okay, so the US, the Cuban government said it let people out who behaved well in prison and so forth, had served quite a chunk of their sentence, and also considered their health, if they were debilitated, more likely to be set at liberty. But they were there for robbery in some cases, or whatever. They said it was also the Cuban government, because it was Semana Santa, even though it's a sort of secular state or even an atheistic state. I know religious worship has been allowed since the 90s and so on. So some people there who are doing forced labor, they've been allowed out. But there not that many more political prisoners. I mean, last year, Cuba released over 500 people, partly to please the United States and so forth. So some people are skeptical. Only a third of those who promised to be released and haven't announced their names in advance have actually been released. So President Miguel Díaz-Canel, what's he going to do? He's got very few cards to play. So he has to try and mollify the United States. Okay, so that's why nobody else is selling oil to Cuba for fear of sanctions. The Venezuelans have to look after themselves because would there be more military action from them? And maybe as Venezuela has proven, if you moderate your policies, the US might leave you alone. So it's possible the regime is going to survive this. And like the 1990s, the other end of communism, there was no more aid from Russia. The Soviet Union broke up. There wasn't even much trade either. There were time of special economic measures, a time of severe hardship. It was a very arduous time. People were reduced to eating cats, for example. And that's when they opened up to tourism. And that was a lot, and that saved the regime. But in the early 90s, a lot of people were saying, that's it. Communism there is going the way it did in Russia. It's over. It'll be a capitalist country. It'll be a democracy like everywhere else in the Caribbean. And it didn't happen. So they survived times which are arguably even tougher. The difference is Cubans know how good life is abroad. They've got some access to the internet and television. Many of them worked abroad and come back. The last 10 years, if they wanted to leave, they can just leave and make money abroad. They're allowed out of Cuba. The question is, are they allowed into another country? Getting a visa is difficult. Now, some of them got citizenship, really Spanish citizenship. They had a grandparent or maybe even a great-grandparent born in Spain. They don't necessarily live in Spain, but anywhere in the European Union. People are getting money sent back from abroad or hearing how much better life is in other Western countries, even other Caribbean countries. Okay, they're better off than Haiti, for example, but they're far worse off than Jamaica, for example. So the Cuban government might yet survive this, but that they can't threaten the United States with anything. The only thing they can do is to sweet talk Donald Trump to make some concessions, make him feel he's won, and maybe they'll get their way. But you know, if Donald Trump really set his mind to it, yeah, he could break the Cuban regime, but it was inhumane. They didn't even have enough electricity to power hospitals and so on. He could have taken military action or whatever, but he's hardly even talking about it at the moment, partly because he's so frustrated with Iran. The Iranians have got him on the run. Hence his frenzied philippic the other day, swearing his head off in a totally undignified manner. Goodness. So the Iranians know that they've got to him. He's rattled and he doesn't have a way out of it. One thing is he could just tell the whopper of a lie that he's won already, and that could be it. The Iranians might say, no, no, no. We're straight keeping the state of form was closed until you withdraw from some bases, pay us compensation. I don't know what else they'd want. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, the new PayPal, georgecan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.